Genesis chapter 5, and then we're going to turn to a second passage in a moment. Genesis chapter 5, you're going to be reading the first five verses. So Genesis 5, 1 to 5, and then a second passage. Just give your attention to the Word of God. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Let's turn now to Romans chapter 5. You can find that on page 942. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read now from verse 12 to verse 18. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. And if you turn to the back of your bulletin, at the bottom there, you see a little outline for tonight's message. And on the back of that bulletin there, you have a WSC 16. Now, what is this WSC 16? This stands for Westminster Shorter Catechism 16. And I have not given you the question. You can deduce it from the answer. The answer is the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity. All mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. Now, what is this? Well, our brains are complicated things, and we learn in different ways. And we need to know things in different ways. And so the primary way that God teaches us through the Bible is through story and history. You have a great deal of history. And when you don't have history, you may be getting parables that are stories. But that's not the only way that we learn. We also learn through statements of the truth. We learn through arguments. We learn through different kinds of laying it out, propositions. And you might say we learn through poetry and so on. And so this morning, we went through the stories, the parables, and the points that they make. And continually, we are singing the psalms and processing the poetry. And in these evening services, we've been going through question and answer, statement by statement. What does God, what about this, and what about this, and what about this? Trying to draw what the Bible says together. And so to understand God, that's where we are in the catechism, what we are to believe concerning God. But as we find out things about God, we find that at certain points we have to pivot to ourselves and learn things about ourselves so that we can then pivot back to God and learn more about God. So in the recent questions we said, okay, God created things to be good. He made man upright, Solomon says, but man has sought out many schemes. Ecclesiastes 7:29. God made us upright, but we have sought out many schemes. Foolish people think that this is a despairing and pessimistic view of things. They're wrong. What's really despairing is to think that people are naturally or just good, and yet somehow everywhere things are evil. If we're good, then whence the evil? The standard pagan answer was that the gods kept messing us up. And that is a hopeless answer. It is hopeless to say, well, we are good, but beings more powerful than us mess us up. It's also rather Pollyannish to say that people are good. What is the evidence for that assertion? In the Bible, you have a hopeful realism. God is good, and people are sinful. To have the Almighty be good, this produces some hope. So we've been saying, God created things good. When he created Adam and Eve, he entered into a covenant with them. A covenant we call covenant of works. And then people sinned. We spoke last week about sin. Now sin is a multifaceted thing. Sin is a breaking of God's law, yes. And sin is a breaking of the relationship. As we said this morning, sin is departing from the Father. Sin is also not doing what the Father said to do. And so the particular sin we have in Genesis 3 is eating the forbidden fruit. And some say the point wasn't the fruit itself, the point was the commandment attached to the fruit. The point was, will you obey God or not? Very bald and simple question. You want to obey God or not? The answer was not. Are we going to allow God to determine for us what is right and wrong? Or are we going to try to determine that for ourselves? The poet Dante pictures Adam saying to him, "Not that I tasted of the tree, but only my transgressing of the mark assigned to me." So we come here now to the next question. Okay, when Adam sinned, who was affected? Himself only? Himself and his wife only? Or everybody? For whom did Adam sin? Or the question is actually phrased, did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? Normally you might say, when I sin, I think I sin for myself only. Is Adam like that, or is he different? Well, as we saw in Genesis 5, God created man in his likeness, and then it says Adam fathered a son in his likeness. Now, at one level, that's fairly banal. You go to camp, you see some familiar-looking kid, and you say, oh, I know what family you're from. You got to be a Jessup. All right, there you go. That's one sense of it. But the other sense, of course, is, and what was Adam's image at this point in Genesis 5? Well, he was a sinner. And so he fathered a sinner. So we see that in Genesis 5, the refrain is death. In Genesis 6, the great theme is sin. He fathered a son in his own image. An image that had become marred by sin. But then we see in Romans 5 something else, that Adam there is called a type of Jesus. This word type means a foreshadowing, a picture ahead of time, something that is similar. Now, in what we read, there was a fair amount of effort to say not identical, not exactly the same. But there has to be a fair amount of similarity, or he's not a type. He's not a foreshadowing if you don't have things that are similar. And so what we saw in Romans 5 was that there is this similarity between Adam and Jesus. When each one acted, the results spread out to many. In the case of Adam, the results spread out to all. So Adam sinned and the penalty rolls out to all. Jesus obeys and the benefits rolls out to all. You might have noticed the many words used there for the penalties we got from Adam. Death reigned. Death spread. The condemnation came. We were made sinners. In other words, it says very clearly there, Adam did not sin for himself alone. If he had sinned for himself alone, he would be no type of Christ. If he's the type of Christ and he sinned for himself alone, then did Jesus obey for himself alone? Then we have no sin. If we want that robust Savior who obeys and we are saved, we have to admit that, okay, the point is that Adam is similar. When he disobeyed, the penalty rolled out. And so the answer says the covenant, that is the covenant of works, discussed a few questions earlier. The covenant of works made Adam our representative, natural in one sense. He is our first father. We all come from him. We do bear his likeness. And so for him, he's different. He was not like most of us, where we might think we sin for ourselves. Instead, the Catechism in its old-fashioned English calls him a public person. Now, what does he mean, a public person? He means a public person is one who acts on behalf of more. A representative, the mayor, might represent the city. The king certainly represented the country. They are public persons, as opposed to common people. Now, did all mankind fall? Well, you're about to just simply say yes, but it's a longer answer than that. You say, well, of course, they're always longer than that. Well, okay, but there's more to it there. Not just restating the question as it says yes. Did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? And it says the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, that is, for his descendants, his kids and grandkids and so on. All mankind descending from him by ordinary generation. All right, there's a point to that. What do you mean, descended from him by ordinary generation? Well, you know how babies are made. Everybody made the normal way, sinned in Adam. But somebody or somebodies are being excluded by this phrase. There is an allusion here to some extraordinary generation. The Bible is actually really into babies and births, especially the remarkable ones. And it goes through a number of remarkable ones. But the climax, of course, is the baby born with no biological father. The climax of all the births is the birth of Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. And so the point here is to exclude Jesus. He was not descended by ordinary generation. Therefore, Adam did not represent him. Therefore, his human nature was unaffected. Adam is a type of Christ. Adam is not the representative of Christ. Adam and Christ are in parallel. Christ, in this important sense, does not come. Now, how do you justify this? I read something new a couple weeks ago. It said, everyone else is born in terms of Genesis 1. Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and here we are. All right? We're all here sort of as an outworking of Genesis 1. But Jesus is born as an outworking of Genesis 3, of the special promise to the woman and not to the man. He had just thrown her under the bus. And so God says to the woman, your seed will defeat the seed of the serpent. Or maybe that's what he says to the serpent. Anyway, it's the seed of the woman and not the seed of them both. It's the seed of the woman and not the seed of him. The seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. His birth derives from a post-fall promise. He's in a different position to Adam. And so when we speak of the fall, when we speak of original sin, Jesus is excluded. And the virgin birth is the sign for us that he is that special person promised long before. A special person who comes not in the ordinary way of children coming into the world, but who comes in an extraordinary way, in accord with this later Genesis 3 voice of promise. So all mankind, descending from Adam by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him. Sinned in him. It's not that we were there. It's not that we were acting in Adam exactly. It's that Adam was our representative. And so in that sense, we are included in that. Adam acted for us. Compare again, Jesus. Jesus acted for us. They're in parallel. And so we sinned in him and fell with him. That is, as his human nature was changed and he became a sinner, so our human nature comes sinful. We come broken and sinful. And so this, we see this judgment of God all around us. To understand God, we have to understand ourselves. That we come selfish, that we come in need of change, that from the beginning there is that need to repent and turn to God. We're in the likeness of Adam after he sinned, because he was our representative. But this is not a counsel of despair. This is to prepare for the Savior. That's why this is not fully spelled out until after the Savior comes. This is not fully laid out for us. That's why you have to go to Romans 5 to see the full picture. You get the full picture after the Savior has come, after you have the second Adam, our new representative who has not fallen. Can you have this explained to us so that we see that we have hope? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us not to imagine ourselves innocent as we come into the world. Help us to remember that you, O Lord, are pure and good. And that even to generous fathers, Jesus says, you then, being evil. So help us, Lord, to remember that there is one who is good, even God. And we thank you for your graciousness to us, that you have made the way for us to return to you, for us to be forgiven for our sins, for us to have your Holy Spirit within us, for us to be changed again and transformed so that we might conform to the image of Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord, more and more to follow after our Lord Jesus and to seek to be imitators of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.